Kia ora, I'm Ruth and welcome back to the Happy Saver podcast and part two of the special six-part financial independence series. On my blog, thehappysaver.com, I created a comprehensive financial independence series of six blog posts where I mapped out a plan to help you on your way to becoming financially independent. Now, because I know that there are some in my audience who only read my blog and others who only listen to this podcast, I wanted to make sure that both parts of my audience got the same information. So what I've done is I have turned each blog post into a podcast episode. Fear not, it is a temporary change to the regular episodes where I chat with a diverse bunch of people and I learn their story and condense it down so that you can hear helpful, relatable stories from Kiwis who are sharing their experiences, their tips and point of view on personal finance in New Zealand. Today's episode is about the purpose and usefulness of budgeting, but before I get into it, I just have a quick word from today's sponsor. When I first started to get interested in understanding where my money came from and went to, I meticulously noted each transaction in a spreadsheet. While a good place to start, I was short on time, and that practice lasted 1 month at best. Enter Pocketsmith. It helped me quickly automate my finances, which saved a ton of time. I like to explain Pocketsmith to people by saying it gave me the data I desperately needed to understand my money. I no longer have to compile that data, it does everything for me. Pocketsmith automates financial management by connecting to your financial institutions, such as your bank, for real-time transaction updates. Plus, it offers budgeting tools, cash flow forecasts, and net worth tracking, thus eliminating the need for manual spreadsheets. Thank goodness. If you want to supercharge your finances with Pocketsmith, have we got a deal for you. Happy Saver listeners get a whopping 50% off your first 2 months of Pocketsmith's foundation plan. To get your deal, go to pocketsmith.com/thehappysaver. That's pocketsmith.com/thehappysaver. In the first podcast in the series of six, I quickly showed you how to calculate your net worth. It'll take a little longer to get through today, but I want to explain why you need to keep an eye on how and where you earn and spend your money, i.e. budgeting. When you learn to budget, your net worth will begin to increase, and that's a promise. Budgeting is simply making a plan for your pūtea or your money. Although I meet hundreds of people who are keen, motivated, and willing to do better with their money, I meet few who are, let's track our spending and earning each month. I know, I understand your reluctance, but if you want to grow your wealth, you must do what wealthy people do, and they know how much they earn and they spend. So I'm sorry, there are no shortcuts here. You've just got to suck it up and budget anyway. Most, I have found, will come to enjoy it as I do, simply because it gives me a feeling of control over my life and it removes any anxiety around my pūtea. But for some of you, it will always be a chore. So be it, you're going to have to do it anyway. For me, budgeting takes me where I want to go. If you have ever logged into your bank account and felt dread or apprehension when you see the balance and you know you have more expenses coming out soon, so it's only going to get worse, please know that you can change the situation. If you can get into the habit of monitoring your earnings and spending, budgeting lets you predict what is coming. My whānau has 3 big holidays planned for the next 12 months, which would have been impossible to pay cash for had we not budgeted. If we had just booked the holiday without a financial plan, I would have been, you guessed it, looking at our bank account with a feeling of dread and apprehension. One of the great joys of the Happy Saver blog is that I've watched countless people move into a more stable position simply because they began to budget. Now, if you have talked yourself into the idea that you want to improve your financial luck in life, I'd first encourage you to budget by hand. Just get out a pen and paper or create a simple spreadsheet on your computer. If you're a visual learner, you might find using a mind map easier and just select a page for each month. First tip for you is, I don't advocate rushing to use online budgeting tools in the first instance because you instantly add a layer of complexity to a very simple process. Most people have an aha moment when inspiration strikes, so just grab a pen and paper or create a spreadsheet and start immediately before you lose motivation. You can learn how to utilize budgeting software later. Now, next, I want you to print off the last 3 months of bank statements for all your accounts. Anywhere where money enters or leaves your accounts, print out a copy. And once you've printed them off, your first thought will likely be just how many financial transactions you complete in a relatively short period of time. Well, that's the reality of living a digital life where we often don't handle physical money. Hundreds of transactions are still happening 24/7 online. So now, with a clear head and no distractions, start methodically working through where you have been spending all of your money. Allow about an hour for this. First, I want you to create some broad category headings that you're going to use. Each transaction will be noted under one of these headings. You can start with my suggestions, then adjust and add your own so they reflect your situation. Ideas for you are income, groceries, electricity, transportation, car maintenance, rent, mortgage payment, rates, insurance, investing, house maintenance, healthcare, communications, clothing, not done yet, eating out, entertainment, holiday, subscriptions, interest paid, and bank fees, gifting, and donations. Another tip for you, just keep your categories broad. For example, even if you shop at Pack and Save, Woolworths, New World Fresh Choice, and the local farmers market, put each transaction under groceries. Now, starting with the first day of the 3 month period that you've chosen, go through your statement line by line. If you spent $20 at the movies, enter $20 under entertainment. If you put $90 of petrol in your car, enter $90 under transportation. If your Rarotongan holiday cost you $6,500, enter it under holiday. Do this exercise for 3 separate months. If you find that you have a transaction that you just can't place, just create a category for it. Otherwise, you will end up with a giant miscellaneous category, because I'm speaking from experience here. Don't stress. Over time, you will refine your categories. And as you work through the hundreds of transactions, while you should be scrutinizing every payment, there's just no judgment on the purchase. You are simply working out for the first time where you spent your money, how much you spent in total, and what you earned over 3 different months. And another tip for you is you must include every single transaction, even for a one-off purchase, because I'm telling you, life is full of one-off purchases. You'll now be eyeballing 3 separate months of transactions in your chosen categories when you are done. So well done, take a break. You have created a list of where your priorities lay. Now, we all use money differently. Therefore, it's not up to me if your spending and earnings are right or wrong. You get to decide. Did you spend $1,000 a month eating out? Well, clearly you prefer other people's cooking to your own. Do you have 6 different subscription services for what is effectively watching TV? Well, you clearly like being sat on your sofa watching TV. There's no judgment here, just a list of how much you spent and on what. But next comes just a little bit of judgment. You can evaluate if that spending sits well with you or not. The fancy name for this is a budget meeting, but it's just a chance to discuss what you have learned about your spending habits. You can adjust your life only once you know where you spend your money and your time. Plus, it helps you see patterns of spending that you can then begin to predict. If you're single, well, that's perfect because you are only about to argue with yourself. But do bring your partner into this conversation early if you are in a relationship. Where you earn and spend your money needs to be a team decision, and everyone has an equal say. Now, I advocate shared finances if you are in a committed relationship, but if you don't share your money, you can still share with your partner what you are doing with your money. So now that you know where your money has come from and gone to, now what? Well, most people start tracking their spending because they sense that they are spending too much or money is just generally being wasted. Hence, you need to calmly and rationally discuss where your money has been going. No finger pointing is allowed here because that just isn't useful. You'll just make the other person resentful. But you can acknowledge what has been going on with the past spending and make shared plans to change it going forward. If you both agree to stop spending in a particular area, but in a month at your next budget meeting, one of you has continued with that spending, well, you might have cause to ask, hey, what gives here? Because Doing so really has broken a promise you made to each other, and it points to broader relationship issues in my mind. Now, I've noticed that two types of change come from that initial budget meeting. Changing the way you spend has to be your decision and yours alone. There is no point in me telling you to get your act together. I can say all I like and you won't hear a word. But I've always noticed that once people decide that something has to change, they go down one of two paths, and both work, by the way. The first one is radical. Once some people have noted where they are spending, they take the radical approach of immediately stopping all spending that is not essential to survival. They have a screw this moment, and they get angry enough to get radical and shake up life as they know it. Now, this is a hardcore reset of what it takes to run your life. There's no restaurant meals, no clothes being bought, no petrol in the car when you could easily ride your bike to work. I love this approach because there are no grey areas. It's either, will this purchase be used to keep me fed and with a roof over my head, or not? I spoke with a woman recently who learned that on her $95,000 salary, she could live on just $200 a week. And she did, which was pretty radical. The second approach is methodical, and I've found that others take the more methodical approach of assessing each expense and adjusting it over time. The financial pressure on them may not be so great, but you may know that you could do better. And this type of approach sees you taking a week or two to compare car insurance providers and make a switch to a cheaper supplier. You could halve the restaurant visits, and category by category, you can review and make adjustments to your spending. And you can mix it up. For example, when COVID-19 first hit, and with our jobs uncertain, Johnny and I got radical. All unnecessary spending stopped overnight, and we maintained this minimum spending for a few months until life settled back down. Now that life is back to normal, we still methodically check and review our monthly expenditures, making tweaks where necessary. You get to choose your approach. And another tip here for you, if you have consumer debt, the radical approach will get you out of debt faster. A short, sharp, intense period of cutting costs and increasing income works wonders on resetting your brain and spending behaviors. When I sat down for the first time and collated this information, we spent a lot of money on a few glaring areas. Spending at the supermarket was number one. I worked out what percentage of our monthly pay was spent on food, and it felt high to me, given our household income. And I simply showed Johnny my math and explained, we earned this much and we spent this much at the supermarket. I don't know about you, but this feels high, and what are your thoughts? And we talked about it. And collectively, we decided that instead of stopping at the supermarket almost every day, we would do one single weekly shop. We would commit to a monthly period where we wrote down what meals we would eat for the coming week, and we shopped using a list to get the right ingredients, and we committed to making do if we forgot something. We agreed to try to reduce our grocery spend by $50 a week. We tried it for a month, and what do you know, it actually worked, and we still shop this way today. But still, our spending and number of store visits creep back up. So we re-look at our numbers, we look each other in the eye, and we commit to reining ourselves back in again. For each category, we calmly discussed what we had been spending and we agreed on a way forward. And if there was an obvious wasteful spending, we decided to stop it right now, which was radical immediately. And for other expenditures, we were more methodical in reducing them, researching alternatives before deciding. In case you hadn't worked it out already, your time is money. Work out your after-tax hourly rate. Let's say it's $30. If you have calculated that you spent $1,000 eating out in 1 month, well, that equates to 33 hours of work to pay the restaurant or takeaway bills. Therefore, during the month, you worked a full 8-hour day on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, and 1 hour on Friday just to pay that expense. Almost one whole week out of a 4-week month, or a quarter of your time at work, was spent earning money to feed your face. Was it worth it? You get to decide. What about if you have a fluctuating income? Not everyone, and my house is included in this, has the luxury of a fixed income. Every month is different in my whare. often by thousands of dollars. So how can you budget if that's you? By tracking our weekly and monthly expenses, we've worked out the minimum income we need to run our lives, and we break every payment we make into a shorter time frame to reduce the shock of a larger bill. For example, we pay our rates weekly at $62 a week. Wherever we can, we make a weekly payment to a supplier or, as I'll explain shortly, a weekly transfer of money into another bank account in readiness for paying a bigger bill. And this way, we know how much it costs to run our whare weekly and monthly. Any income above these basic expenses can then go towards those extras, such as a restaurant meal. Now, once you've spent the time looking back, now you can plan your future. And using 3 months of historical data and agreement on what you will be cutting spending on, well, you can plan ahead as to how much you expect to spend in the coming months. For example, Johnny and I had been spending $1,250 monthly on groceries, and we agreed to cut that back to $1,000 a month. And although a good place to start, predicting the coming year for things like electricity is more challenging based on only 3 months of transactions. So what you want to do is find out the total yearly amount. It's not unreasonable to expect that the following year you would spend a similar amount. So if there is a category where you need a little more detail, just go back and find it. Now, in my mind and in the mind of many others, sinking funds are magic money saving machines. Monthly budgeting is tricky if you have fluctuating bills. Our highest winter power bill was $300, and in summer, our lowest one was $110. And we spent a total of $2,300 over 1 year. We can prepare for this fluctuating expense using what are called sinking funds. Simply, $2,300 divided by 52 weeks equals $44 per week. I opened a bank account, I named it Power, and I set up a rule that $44 is automatically transferred from my checking account every Monday into this Power bank account, and it just quietly builds up. When my Power account arrives, I set up a transfer of that specific amount into my checking account for the day the bill is paid. Everything else is automated. Besides transferring that monthly bill total back to my checking account in readiness for payment. Now, these accounts iron out variable spending. You can use as many sinking funds as you like. And if your bank charges you fees for each account, well, it might be time to find a better bank. So people might ask, why so many accounts? Doesn't that just complicate things? Having different bank accounts with names that give them an obvious purpose, such as Power, or schooling, car repairs, holidays, tax, etc. It just eliminates the need to constantly do math in your head. If you have one catch-all bank account for bills, it's really easy to overlook one and come up short. And I know because people tell me that they do this all the time. And having one large pool of dosh, it means that they don't feel they have a clear purpose for any of it. Think about it this way. If you were running a big company with multiple divisions, you would have specific amounts of money allocated to each division. Well, it's the same with your personal finances. I say that budgeting gives me peace of mind and control of my putia. And when I see a bank account specifically called holidays, well, it gives me a mental boost to watch that account grow, bringing my much anticipated break even closer. And the increasing balance, it lets me dream about the things we will get to do on holiday because I can see we have the money to do them. Similarly, if we've had a hectic week and I fancy a night away somewhere, a quick look at this account tells me if we can afford to go or not. Now, another tip for you is don't run your bank accounts too lean. A common phrase is that your money needs to be working for you, and people are keen to push more towards debt or investments to do this. Money sitting in your bank account is not wasted. Having a decent amount of money in each of your bank accounts is working for you because it reduces anxiety around running out. Now, I advocate having a healthy buffer in your accounts, particularly your daily checking account. And as your wealth grows, the amount of money you have in your bank represents a smaller and smaller percentage of your overall net worth. Next comes planning ahead on where you will spend your money. Using the monthly category totals that you have calculated from your 3 months of transactions, find the average and plan out your coming months. For example, we spent $1,240 over 3 months on petrol, which is an average of $413 monthly. Well, we can use this figure to plan the months ahead. And the more data you gather, the better you will estimate future spending. You also take this time to decide if this spending is excessive, if it's okay, or if it could be lowered. What can you reduce this expense to if you need to? Could you make fewer trips? Could you walk to work? Could you carpool, etc.? Equally, if you know you have a road trip planned, you can plan for spending more. Now, budgeting is about more than just the numbers on the paper. It's more about what you will do about the numbers that you see on the paper. So for each category, once you know what you have spent on average for a month and consider whether it's too little, too much, or just perfect, well, you can plan the month ahead. And once that month has ended, well, go back and write where you spent all of your money. And now you have 4 months of data. And this last month should reflect the changes to your spending habits. Using manual systems to determine where you have previously been spending your money is helpful because you eyeball each transaction. But in my experience, manual systems don't work well beyond about the 4 month mark. Most of us are simply too busy to come home from work and write down that the electricity bill was paid by direct debit last night. Good intentions soon fizzle out, and the careful eye you were keeping on your money, well, it just wanders elsewhere. But as a place to start, well, heck yes, manual budgeting works, simply because you get to feel each transaction as you write it down. Now, don't sweat the cents. Budgeting down to the last cent is difficult, particularly when you have a joint bank account with your spouse. There will be unexpected yet necessary expenses. Each individual will spend and earn as the weeks go by, and that's life. If you are desperate to track every cent, yet your partner, although careful with money and working towards shared goals, does not, then the more stringent budgeter needs to just loosen up a bit. This is why I think having a $1,000 buffer in your checking account that you try not to go below, but you are relaxed if it briefly does, is really vital for taking the stress out of budgeting. The next logical step is to use automated budgeting software that links to your bank accounts, for which you will pay a monthly subscription. Instead of manually entering every transaction, it does it all for you, reading your bank transactions and dropping them into categories that you have chosen. And from there, you create budgets where you set spending limits and guidelines and can easily track your progress. Now, if you've read my blog for a while, after trying several different apps, both free and paid, you'll know that I prefer to use PocketSmith, which is a Dunedin-based but international budgeting software company. I'll regularly share images that I take from my PocketSmith account on my blog because they convey my financial information so effectively. But had I just launched into using PocketSmith when I decided to start budgeting for the very first time, I probably wouldn't have lasted the distance because it took me a good few months to wrap my head around how it all works. So this is why I'm adamant that starting with a pen, a paper, a mind map, or a spreadsheet works best initially. You already know how those systems work, so no new skills are required, leaving you to concentrate entirely on your numbers. A final yet crucial point for you to understand about budgeting is that we all do it differently. We are all looking for our data to tell us a unique story, and it takes us all a bit of time to find our groove. You must find a system that works for you because budgeting must become a lifelong behavior, not a chore. I go to PocketSmith every couple of days to check things are ticking along as per our plans. Now, because I've spent time manually categorizing our expenses, I developed a plan for what information I was looking for, and I could just transfer that into PocketSmith and just build upon it. Each person I speak with uses it slightly differently, but that is the beauty of it. I believe that you can completely bend it to your will. And using a budgeting app, it gives you a straightforward way to look at your spending and earnings, and it's an incredibly effective tool to help you reach saving and spending goals, which are of your own design. Now, it links to your bank accounts, meaning the information is always accurate, but when you need to move money around, you still need to go to your online banking to do this. PocketSmith can only read what's in your bank accounts. It doesn't touch your money. So either on my desktop or on my phone, I can check how our month is tracking and whether we need to tighten our spending, increase our income, or celebrate that we've reached a goal. Like any new skill, you have to give budgeting time to settle in. But once it does, and once you gain an understanding of where your money comes from and goes to, well, you stop looking behind you and you start to plan ahead. And when you budget, and the longer you budget, the more you will feel in control of your pūtea. The goal is to spend less than you earn every single month. And this creates the gap needed to put more money towards debt or investments, and is how you grow your net worth over time. So that's it for today. If you have enjoyed today's episode and found it helpful, please share it with your friends and whānau. It's the best way that people can learn about what I do and the resources I share. And finally, get out there and kōrero more about money with your own friends and whānau, and help me continue to help others be better with money. So until next time, happy saving.